Welcome to another episode of PhD Dividend Beyond the Lab. Today, we'll explore the exciting world of neuroscience and neurodegeneration through the work and experiences of the PhD students of the University of Bologna. I'm your host, Fotini Dionysia Kufi, a third-year PhD student. In this episode, I'm joined by Andrea Mastrangelo, Alice Ticca, Federico Camilli, and myself to share our projects, inspirations, and thoughts on the PhD journey. Let's begin. First, let's hear from Andrea, a second-year PhD student and neurologist. Welcome, Andrea.
Thank you, Fotini. It's a pleasure to be here.
Andrea, could you tell us about your research?
Of course. My project focuses on rapidly progressive dementia, which is a devastating disease associated with a cognitive impairment which progresses and becomes severe over a very short time period. Rapidly progressive dementia can be clinically very different from the classical slowly progressive dementia. For example, we know that there is a rapidly progressive form of the classical Alzheimer's disease which can display some clinical signs which are not commonly found in the classical Alzheimer's disease. In my project, I am investigating the clinical phenotype of a specific form of a rapidly progressive dementia, which is associated with Lewy body disease. I am exploiting a novel biomarker called the RT-Quick assay, which can detect the biological signature of Lewy body disease with high sensitivity and also specificity. Our aim, of course, is to improve early diagnosis and also patient care through better biomarkers.
Okay, very interesting. Thank you for sharing, Andrea. Now, I'm happy to introduce Alice, a first-year PhD student working on neurodegenerative diseases. Welcome, Alice.
Thank you, Fotini.
Alice, could you tell us about your research?
Sure. I studied Lewy body disease, focusing especially on Parkinson's disease. My work centers on identifying protein biomarkers in cerebrospinal fluid using the RT-Quick assay, a cutting-edge, ultra-sensitive biochemical approach that exploits the prion-like properties of amyloidogenic proteins. This method enables us to investigate how pathological alpha-synuclein aggregates and how this aggregation relates to the onset and progression of clinical symptoms. The core of my project aims at optimizing the RT-Quick protocol to make it applicable to more easily accessible biological samples, such as the blood, and also to obtain quantitative data that could possibly improve the stratification of PD patients. Of course, the ultimate goal is to contribute to early and also to a more accurate diagnosis of this really widespread and debilitating disorder.
Oh, that's very interesting. And what about your hopes for this first year?
Well, in this first year, I hope to strengthen my experimental skills and to deepen my understanding of neurodegenerative processes. Moreover, I'm also excited to contribute to scientific publications, connect with other researchers, build collaborations, and also begin shaping my path within the scientific community.
That's very interesting. And what about your life at the hospital, both of you, since you work together? Like, is it interesting?
It's easy.
Working together.
Yeah, it's not that easy in the fact that I speak for myself. It's not that easy because I have to do clinical part and also some research part. So sometimes it's quite difficult to combine both things, but I think we can do that. And also, I'm very excited to work in a lab with so many young people coming from different experiences and different studies that I have not been able to address in the past. So it's very exciting that.
Yeah, we are a really great team. We work very well together. We are in very new laboratories, so we have very recent technologies. So it's very challenging and stimulating to work in this way.
That sounds great, actually. Mm. So, okay, and thank you, both of you. And now let's welcome Federico, a third-year PhD student working on multiple sclerosis. Welcome, Federico.
Thanks, Fotini. It's great to be here.
Federico, could you tell us a bit about your project?
Yeah, sure. My project focuses on exploring the prognostic value of the KE index in multiple sclerosis, which is a highly heterogeneous disease, both in terms of clinical presentation and treatment response. One of the biggest challenges in managing MS is predicting how a patient will respond to a given treatment early in the disease course. And while several biomarkers have been investigated for their prognostic value, there is still no single reliable marker that can guide therapeutic decisions effectively. And the KE index, which measures the concentration of kappa free light chains in the cerebrospinal fluid, has emerged as a potential indicator of Bill cell involvement in the central nervous system. And although it is already recognized as a diagnostic biomarker, its role as a prognostic tool remains underexplored. My project, in fact, aims to assess whether the KE index measured at the moment of diagnosis can predict both disease progression and treatment response, particularly to B cell targeting therapies. And a key objective of my research is to develop a prognostic score that combines the KE index with other biomarkers, such as serum neurofilament light chains levels, to better stratify patients according to their risk of disease progression. And if successful, this study could have a direct impact on clinical practice. In fact, the KE index is relatively easy to measure, cost-effective, and could be integrated into routine diagnostic protocols without significant adjustments. This would then enable neurologists to make more personalized treatment choices early on, potentially improving long-term outcomes for people with MS. In this way, the project aims to contribute to a more personalized approach in MS management.
Now, a few words about my own project. So, I study autosomal dominant leukodystrophy, which is a rare neurodegenerative disease that currently has no cure. I work with human-induced pluripotent stem cells that are derived from fibroblasts of patients, and I differentiate them into neurons, astrocytes, and oligodendrocytes to understand their role in disease progression. In addition to cell differentiation, I also generate brain organoids, actually cortical organoids, that are small three-dimensional structures that mimic the aspects of the human brain. And this allows me to study more complex cell-to-cell interactions in the disease environment. And to characterize metabolic changes, I apply nuclear magnetic resonance spectroscopy, which is known as NMR metabolomics, for both the in vitro models and also on ex vivo biological fluids, such as plasma and cerebrospinal fluid. And all these approaches aim to better understand ADLD and to pave the way for new therapeutic strategies. And for the past 6 months, I've been in South Korea working on this project and generating the organoids, these little brains. And so this project is exciting also from, of course, since it's a rare disease, we are the first to identify new biomarkers and to study the mechanisms of the disease, but also regarding the collaborations, the experiments are not only done in Bologna, but also in South Korea and in other parts of Italy. So in my opinion, it is a very exciting project. And before we conclude, I'd like to ask you all, what advice would you give to someone starting a PhD in neuroscience and neurodegeneration? And how do you think the University of Bologna can support them?
Thank you for the question. I would say, of course, to be patient and stay curious and don't get discouraged by the challenges that can happen every time. And I also want to speak to my colleague, to my medical colleagues, to young doctors who maybe after the residency want to also gain some research experience. I think it's a great opportunity to get involved in a PhD and also to use the PhD as a tool to improve the research activity and also the research experience. I think it should be a great opportunity to do that, to really exploit all the opportunities a PhD can give you. And also I think the University of Bologna can offer really strong research groups which can pave the way for great collaborations. Also, we have many, for example, at Bellary Hospital, we have many research groups working on different things. And I think the real research power can be really improved by improving these collaborations between the groups we are working at Bellary Hospital. And so I think University of Bologna can offer a very stimulating scientific environment that can really help PhD students grow in the research career.
And honestly, about that, since you both study cerebrospinal fluid, and I also actually recently started studying this, but with a different technique than you, this could also be an opportunity to collaborate even more, because I've never done the ArtQuick before this assay. So honestly, these are knowing about all these different aspects of the project, I believe that it could be very interesting for also collaborating more between us. And what about you, Alice?
Yeah, I really agree with all of you. My advice is to stay open-minded and build strong connections with your colleagues and mentors, and possibly also with international groups that can provide some feedback that are different from what we are used to in our country. And moreover, at the University of Bologna, the interdisciplinary opportunities and the strong community can make a really big difference, especially for young researchers such as, for instance.
That's very interesting. And what about you, Federico?
Well, my main advice will be to stay open to collaboration and adaptable. In fact, research can be challenging in any field, but maintaining a sense of exploration and being flexible despite the obstacles can make the journey rewarding. The University of Bologna provides a supportive environment for PhD students. In fact, there are opportunities for international mobility, for example, such as the Marco Polo program, which offer funding and support for research stays abroad. And these experiences can broaden your perspective and foster valuable collaborations. Additionally, the university offers various services to support PhD students' well-being and professional development. These include, for example, healthcare services, psychological support, and career guidance. Engaging with these type of resources can help you navigate the challenges of doctoral research and plan for your future career. Overall, I encourage new PhD students to take advantage of these opportunities available, seek support when needed, and embrace the collaborative spirit of the research community.
So thank you all, and I completely share your thoughts, and collaboration, resilience, and curiosity are essential in our work, and of course to be very imaginative, because especially when you work in the lab, you need to have a lot of imagination in order to be able to design very new and exciting experiments. So
can I ask you
something? Yes, sure.
How do you like working here at the anatomy department, which collects very different experiences from also clinicians and also basic laboratory scientists? Do you like it?
Yes, for me, actually, my period here has been very, very interesting and also very fruitful for my career, because I am a chemist, actually, so I don't come from the medical environment like both of you. And being in the anatomy department, I was able to not only just focus in lab techniques and do more biotech related things like other researchers that are in PhD programs related to chemistry, biochemistry, and biotech, but also I was able to work at the sectory room that we have in our department, and also to understand also the importance of the anatomical features regarding that disease. So for me, it has been a great, and it's still a great experience for me being in the anatomy department. And we also work with a hospital, with a Bellaria hospital. So I have also been at the hospital. Which is for me a very, very important opportunity to learn also how possibly working at the hospital could be, and also see the patient and not only just use the patient sample. Yeah. So that's why I believe for me it was very, it has been and it still is a very nice journey.
Yeah, a challenge. Also.
Yes, a challenge too, yeah. When you have a different background. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And with that, we wrap up today's episode. Thank you for joining us on this journey. So stay tuned for more episodes of PhD Debenham Beyond the Lab. And until next time.